It's only entertainment.
Welcome back to the Talking Hedge. I'm Josh Kincaid, capital markets analyst and host of your cannabis business podcast. My guest today is Rick Thompson. He is the executive director of Normal of Michigan. Rick, thanks for being on the Talking Hedge.
Thanks for inviting me, Josh.
Appreciate it. We're going to take a look at today at 15 different markets that Headset covers, looking at everything from total sales, year-over-year sales growth, average basket, the number of products being sold, and same-store sales. So with that, let's dive into it.
Michigan is just a fantastic market, and I know it's rather unique in the Midwest and almost in the United States, but I'm excited to talk about what makes us special today.
Yeah, and I'm glad you made some time for me as well, because you know California gets a lot of the news, and so I separated these graphs from Headset month over month to look at existing markets versus new and emerging markets. So California gets all the news, $420 million in sales. That sounds great. But you know, what's happening outside of that? Because I think there's a lot to be said about Saskatchewan in Canada that gets 14 million. It's an everyday average rural town. And it speaks volume to look at other outliers like Michigan. Why are they increasing? Well, I guess not increasing. They went from 213 million in January down to 196 and back up to 202. But they are doing really, really well, along with Florida, who did the same thing, kind of came back down and bounced back up. So what's going on in Michigan?
Well, in January is a traditionally a lesser month as far as sales go. December, of course, a big sales boom for the holiday season. So we traditionally do expect January to dip a little bit. But this January in 2023 was less of a dip than we had seen in previous years. And year-over-year sales for January were much more robust than they had been even for December's year-over-year sales as well. So we're seeing right now a period of approaching the plateau. You understand what I'm saying? We have an acceleration graph that takes us on an upward slope until you reach a certain saturation point when you plateau out. And then eventually the result of a plateau is a decline. We're just in the point where we're approaching the plateau. And I believe in Michigan, we had a longer acceleration graph than other states would have, because we already had a pre-existing infrastructure prior to the 2016 Medical Marijuana Facilities Licensing Act and prior to the 2018 Marijuana Facilities Licensing Act for the adult use program. So people in Michigan were much more used to utilizing the regulated marketplace, even when we were running it as an unregulated marketplace.
Yeah, and it's still strong. We'll get to that too with some other stats here, but rounding this graph here, basically look again, California, the highest sales both in that January, February, March, decreasing sales pretty much from everyone else. Sales in Illinois and Massachusetts consistently up there, but you know, West Coast, and British Columbia is interesting. We'll get into that too. We'll see a lot of sales increasing year over year in British Columbia, but that's because of new stores, and so we'll get into that. Arizona maybe had the highest sales in February and then dropped a little bit. And so with that, let's kind of take a look at year-over-year sales growth and kind of what that might look like. Again, Canada kind of getting some increase. And it's one of the only positives. BC at positive 23, Alberta positive 12. Illinois in the U.S., Massachusetts, you know, at 4%, and Ontario 4%, but Michigan 31%. What's up, Rick?
Well, again, it's still that acceleration curve that I talked about. We started adult use sales in 2019. So that was December of 2019. So let's realistically look at 2020, 2021, and 2022 as three solid years of sales, plus a month at the front and plus 2 months at the back end. That's less mature than some of the other markets, certainly less mature than the Colorado market, than the California market. So I believe we are really just 12 to 24 months behind everybody else on the West Coast in some of those mature markets where they've seen their plateau already, and they're starting that post-plateau decline that we just talked about too. I believe we are just a few months behind them, and then we'll see the similar type of declines too.
is anybody paying attention to what's happening? Because I would agree with that. I think a lot of what's happening on the West Coast is going to hit East Coast. They just haven't seen it yet. Do you think that other people know that in Michigan? Are you hearing that?
In fact, we see a lot of projections now. I'm sorry, Josh, my phone went off. We see a lot of projections now that include a decline in pricing. We talked about per unit basket sales. We've been very consistent with our basket size here in Michigan, but that may not always be the case. And if you look at consistent basket size as measured by dollars versus an increasing volume of output, you're seeing that people are getting more cannabis for the same amount of money. Now, that's because our customer base is essentially budgeted in their cannabis purchases. So they know exactly what they're going to spend, even if they're going to get more for it than they normally would.
Mm-hmm. Before we get to that average basket size, one last take on these graphs here. Sales growth negative for most of the states, indicating that sales have decreased compared to, I don't know, nowhere, but maybe just people are spending less because of inflation, but obviously prices are coming down. We'll see that in average basket and some other data here. Michigan, obviously increasing their sales growth was the outlier. California, Colorado had the lowest year-over-year sales growth. That's West Coast. So that's kind of the difference here between emerging markets and some of the legacy markets here. So to the average basket that you were mentioning, that's defined as the average size or in the sales dollar amounts for retail when people go in and they spend, how much on average were they buying? California, you can see dipped under $60. It was $65 minimum for delivery. So as I've been saying, people are going to the store because they want to spend less. They don't want to spend $65 and have that delivery minimum. So a lot of people are going in there, bringing that average delivery price way down to $52 in California. Michigan, however, is still at $60. Again, one of those outliers. Not as high as Florida, though. It's almost $80 in Florida, but Michigan holding strong at $60.
I think Florida's economy as a whole is probably more robust than Michigan's. Michigan, of course, has experienced a couple of downturns. We've lost a lot in the pharmaceutical industry and in the automotive industry as well. So I think Florida being a more affluent state is probably what's being reflected there too. I also think that the distribution of adult use retail stores in Florida is probably more intelligently done than it is here in Michigan. Although Michigan's an unlimited license state, it's a very limited license state because individual communities have to agree to allow cannabis businesses within them, which means there are clusters of businesses, which sometimes means oversaturation of a retail market and an uneven distribution pattern amongst Michigan residents. So that may improve as we go forward, but I believe Florida's got some inherent properties that make it a more strong market.
Florida and Michigan were the only places that had an increase, whereas everybody else decreased in their average basket. So again, I think that's the inflation hitting them. A lot of layoffs have been announced and people maybe just spending less overall. So, year over year, definitely seeing that decrease in terms of what people are spending, even with the price compression that we're seeing in the industry, it's not reflecting in people spending more at all. And so I don't think that's going to be a very good indicator for long-term sales. In the next 3-4 years, I think, is going to be a tough market for a lot of these producers, unfortunately, if they're not vertically integrated. If they are, maybe they can have a little bit more leeway in terms of the effects that the inflation and pricing pressure is going to put on their bottom line.
Very true.
Number of SKUs, I think, is interesting because Illinois and Washington have a ton. They've got a ton of products, but it's a completely different environment. I'm kind of annoyed by in Washington how old we are, 10 years old, and we still have to shop by price and THC. Literally online, that's how you filter it. In Illinois, it's weird because you walk in and there's the perception is like there's 10 products. And they're in these cases and you're looking at these things. And the reality is it looks like there's 1,070 SKUs. So how are you going to like flip through the tab? I'm guessing 900 of those aren't viewed at all. those products. Like, no one's going to flip through those and see it. Whereas when you walk into Washington, boom, it's in your face. And it's really, you know, people walk in and they're like, oh my God, this is intimidating. So there's plus and minuses to both of those, but it's a lot harder to miss some of those products when they're right in your face and there's a display cabinet right there. So two different things happening with products. The average is around 600. So markets that might reflect, you know, an average market might be like Maryland or Nevada. California being 780 is pretty close to that. But there's a lot of products out there. And I think the majority of them, around 95% of them, are trash, in my opinion, that probably shouldn't be out there, especially after judging 155 brands and realizing only three of them were worth smoking. That's a 97.5% failure rate, in my opinion. So a lot of these SKUs just shouldn't even be there. They pushed out a lot of these home growers, legacy farmers that know what they're doing, that have that aroma and funk. And a lot of these guys are probably just carpetbaggers and get highs who shouldn't have been in the industry, and they pushed everybody out. Now it's a race to the bottom, and everyone's worried about MSOs and outsiders coming in and tearing the industry apart, but it's happening from the inside. They're destroying the industry from the inside. And I don't think Washington is exclusive. I think it's probably happening everywhere.
Well, I would agree with you. You know, and this was the most confusing of all the headset data that we've seen, because I can tell you from my personal experience, we have about 500 SKUs just in gummies here in Michigan by itself. There are so many companies, and with each individual flavor requiring a different SKU. Mm-hmm. So I'm uncertain about the origin of this particular mm-hmm. statistic, but I would suspect that when you see this type of dramatic change, look at Washington's spike in SKUs, Illinois spike in SKUs. I imagine that that's more about the state's individual requirements for having individual SKUs than it is actually a reflection of the number of products available. Here in Michigan, we've been adding products all the time, and especially the beverage industry is kind of exploded here in Michigan. Although the sales numbers don't reflect that, the number of products available in the last 6 months has really just boomed. And I wouldn't see that in any of this information here too. So this was the most confusing of all the headset data to me.
The way I look at it is kind of like a Fitbit. It might not be accurate on your steps, but it's consistently inaccurate. So as long as it's consistent, it'll give us a lot of good data day over day, month over month, year over year.
As far as increased numbers, exactly correct. Yes, I think that's very valid.
Looking at same store sales, this is interesting because as I mentioned earlier with Canada, they had a huge ramp up. They were like the only region in North America with an increase in terms of year over year sales, their growth. But that's because they increased the number of stores. So Canada had this 1.0 and 2.0 rollout where they had a certain number of products coming in 1 year, and then the next year everyone else could come. And BC was really holding back on the number of stores that they could open. I'm curious if that has anything to do with Hell's Angels and their grasp on the legacy market. A lot of those, like the Bulldog Cafe and a lot of those places up there, are ran by Hell's Angels. So I'm curious if some of that has something to do with it. But now those stores are finally opening up, and we see this number of same store sales declining, probably as a result of people going to closer, better stores, is my guess.
Yeah, I would think that's true too. I'm always curious, Josh, about the support that the Canadian companies receive from the federal government, whether or not that has any kind of an effect on these total overall statistics, recognizing that they don't have the tax disincentive that the American companies do. But again, when you're talking about statistics that are consistently applied, the numbers from month to month shouldn't really reflect that. But overall, I'm always curious to see the Canadian experience versus the American experience to sort of predict what effect federal legalization might actually have as a positive on the industry.
Yeah. Some interesting stuff happening up in Canada. A lot of people kind of going back to the legacy market. There's better product. I myself in Washington, definitely going back to the legacy market. You could put that in air quotes of MMJ or whatever you want to call it. I'm like the rec stores. I'm done with you. I'm done with everything until they can come out with something that's worth my money. But yeah, in Canada, they have, legalized cocaine. So that'll be a subject for another podcast, but some crazy stuff going up there in Canada. Rick, where can they find you at?
You can always find me at forumrick@gmail.com. I'm on Instagram, TCCRick, on LinkedIn. Rick Thompson is my name. And, of course, Facebook. You can find me there, Rick Thompson, or as Normal of Michigan on our page.
Yeah. Again, Rick Thompson, he's the executive director of Normal of Michigan. Rick, thanks again for being with us on The Talking Hedge.
That was great, Josh. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. I'm Josh Kincaid. This is The Talking Hedge. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe, or don't, and I'm out. Don't forget to smash that like button on your way out and check out these other videos that we've got.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
Hey there, my name is Leah Babrudi, and I'm the founder and host of Canna Chicks Podcast, where I discuss cannabis, psychedelics, and other natural medicines. I not only interview people who use them as treatment for different conditions, but also the entrepreneurs who share their knowledge on how they built their businesses. If this sounds interesting to you, give my show a listen. I'm sure you'll learn something that'll surprise you.